and the ungodly, who forget God. Their evil is rather practical than habitual. But after that, they become habituated to evil, and they stand in the way of open sinners who willfully violate God's commandments. And if let alone, they go one step further and become themselves pestilent teachers and tempters of others. And thus they sit in the seat of the scornful. They have taken their degree in vice, and their true doctors of damnation, they are installed. So this is what Spurgeon said about people who are, you know, do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. If you're seeking counsel, don't go to an ungodly person. So the first verse tells us what the godly person does not do, the blessed person. Verse 2 tells us what the godly person does. He delights in the law of the Lord, in the law of the whole word of God. So delighting in God's word is that we spend time reading it, we spend time meditating on it, and we spend time seeing what the text and the context of the scriptures is about. You know, you can't read one scripture and draw our own conclusion. We have to put the scripture always in the context of which it was written, and then the context of which it is written can often fit into the context of which we are a part of. And so this psalm, Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, fit very, very, you know, like a piece of the puzzle fitting into our lives. So if you're going to look at how you're going to be blessed, then don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And don't sit where the scornful. And I liked what he said there about the scornful people. The scornful people are the people who have their degree in sin. They have their degree in habits that are ungodly. So, you know, they're... Then we'll go on from there. Second, the blessed person meditates on the law of the Lord. One guy says, "It is not the goal to master the book as it is to be mastered by the book." So whenever we're reading the scriptures, we're not trying to master it. I can, you know, quote everything, but I can be, the book is mastering my own life. Verse 3. So verse 3 is, okay, what happens to us? Okay, what happens to the godly person and the person who does not seek the counsel of the ungodly? Well, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So the picture of the blessed man is one who is planted by a tree that is planted by water. And we know that if you're living in a desert climate, the trees that are by the water are the ones that grow. And the ones out in the desert, they have a tendency to die. So the idea then of being blessed is that your life flourishes. It has good things, has good fruit that can be picked from it, and bringeth forth fruit in his season. So there is something that comes from your life that is able to be picked. It is a fruit that people can eat of it and be blessed by it. So God has a plan for the life of every believer. So if we know that God has a plan, reading the word and meditating on it, we know that our lives will go through, you know, there are always droughts. There's droughts that come and go, but during the dry season, we still have roots deep enough to find the living water. And flowing by the stream nourishes from the water. And Jesus, whenever he was at in Samaria with the woman at the well, he says to, you know, he offers the woman water to drink from that she'll never thirst anymore. And so in the context of her understanding, she had to come every day and get water. And Jesus says, "I am the living water. I'm the living water. And if you drink of this water that I offer you, you never have to come back for this." And so her idea is, give me that water and I don't have to come back. Okay. Well, the message of the ungodly do not comprehend the message of the spiritual. When Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again, what does Nicodemus say? Born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb when I am old? You know? So they don't grasp the spiritual impact of what Christ is saying. And Nicodemus, Jesus said, well, you know, what's born of the water is, what's born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. So there's a distinction. You have a physical birth, but you have a spiritual birth. You have water to drink of that comes from the water and the earth, but you have a spiritual water that comes from the refreshing of your soul from heaven. What else? In his commentary on the Psalms, James Johnson said, the godly man and woman produce thanksgiving in seasons of plenty, faith in seasons of doubt, patience in suffering, peace in turmoil, mercy when wronged, gentleness when falsely accused, strength in temptation, humility in leadership, and prayer in all seasons. So, that's verse 1. And blessed is the man is finding, verse, this is in the NET, what, New International Translation? No, can't be in his eye. NET. Well, anyhow, it says, success succeeds in everything he attempts. The blessed man finds success in what he attempts. Now, again, success is not necessarily, you know, a billion bucks in the bank and everybody's, it's all flourishing the way that our society sets up success. Well, it defines success as the continued achievement of becoming the person God wants you to be. The continued achievement of becoming the person God wants you to be, so that in every situation, we're learning how to become more like Christ, because we delight in the law of the Lord and in his precepts, and in his law we meditate day and night. So we are growing in our understanding of what God wants. God's laws are fair. Where is this that? I have that somewhere. God's laws are meant for our benefit, to be food, to be good, excuse me, and not harm us. The God's laws are to protect us and guide us. And so when God is telling us, you know, one person was saying about how that God wrote the Ten Commandments in a negative form. If God would have written them correctly, he would have made them positive. Like, positive reinforcement brings about positive behavior. Okay. Well, there are 10 things we shouldn't do, and there's thousands of things that we should do. So rather than God saying, these are all the only things that you should do, okay? No, he says, these are the only things you shouldn't do. And anything that falls into these 10 categories, you shouldn't be doing. Because I'm trying to protect you and provide for you. You are having a right relationship with me and a right relationship with people. So I can summarize everything you shouldn't do in these 10 commandments. And Jesus says, I can summarize these in 2 commandments. And some of us can summarize them in 1 commandment. Who can summarize the gospel in 1 verse? Don't you remember that show? It was I can name that tune. I can name that tune in 10 notes. Remember that? I could never name any of them, but anyway, so I can name that tune in 2 notes. Well, you watched it. So what God gives to us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So here's the direction for your life. Watch what news you listen to. Watch what you read. Watch what you believe. Watch what, you know, we are to take heed of what goes in. Because what goes in is going to affect what comes out. And so, take heed to what goes in. Verse 4. Ungodly. The ungodly are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. So we find that people ungodly people are basically like a feather in the wind. If you know chaff, if you've ever harvested grain, you know, oats and wheat and things like that, you have the kernel of grain inside there, and then you have it surrounded by chaff, that which kind of holds the grain until it grows and develops, and then it falls away. Well, to harvest it, you have to get rid of all that stuff that is holding the grain. That's called chaff. And what happens is that the wind can drive the chaff away. In the old days, they would take the grain and they would throw it in the air, and the grain would go up and it's heavier and it would come back down. But the chaff, the wind, if the wind was blowing, it would blow the chaff off. And that's how they separated the grain from the chaff. Well, the ungodly are like chaff. They're just blown away. And they're here today and gone tomorrow. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. The ungodly aren't going to judge you. Not going to judge us. They're going to be judged by God when it's all said and done in the great white throne judgment, and they're going to stand before God, and their name is not written in the book of life, and so they're going to be sentenced to eternal damnation in hell. So the ungodly are never going to stand in judgment. They can be scornful, and they can be, they can rip on you, but their opinion means absolutely nothing in light of eternity. Nor sinners, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That's why he tells us, don't get your advice from the ungodly. Don't get your advice from the sinners, because they're not going to be there when you're standing before God. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous. God knows our ways. He knows what's in our heart and our mind. And the way of the ungodly will perish. Remember, only what is done for Christ will last. So when we're living our life to please God, we meditate on the Word and what the Word gives to us, and how that the Word is our strength and our foundation in establishing the principles. Well, then we find that the people who don't have this, they're not going to be around. The lesson talks about Jesus, talking about the house built upon the sand and the house built on the rock. You know, the ungodly build their house. The structures may look sound and good, but whenever the storms come, they don't make it. You know, the ungodly, the sand just washes out from underneath them and it collapses. So, what else? Psalm 119. So what is our lesson? How does God speak to us? So here is the foundation of it here in Psalm 1. The foundation of it is his word. Not the ungodly, not the practical wisdom of our world. It is the wisdom of God that is our foundation. And then he goes on how that God directs us in Psalm 119. Kind of starts off the same way, doesn't it? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So, again, blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are the individuals who do not walk in sin. You know, have kept the commandments. John Calvin, he talks that in the commentary here. John Calvin, a principal advocate for the Reformation, preached 22 sermons over a six-month period covering its 22 sections. When is the pastor ever going to stop that series? So, I didn't start this one. All right. 10 words used in this chapter represent God's message to the people. So, in this chapter, there's 10 words that, and this I didn't see it here, but I think that, if I'm not mistaken, this psalm was written through the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. And, you know, each letter is written as it goes through. And then there's 22 sections and everything. So that's why it is the longest book of the Bible. So for our devotion today, we're going to read the book of Psalm 119. Tom, will you stand up and read that for us? Sure, okay. No mistakes, and I want it in the King James. So, you don't have that version. Okay, what's that? 8 verses. Yeah, that's okay. That's what it is. Yeah, it's 8 verses in each segment. So, it's so when you understand, I mean, whenever you get the whole concept, you say, okay, each one of these has a different category, a different thing that he's speaking of here, and bringing direction to our life through relationship with God. So. God's message to his people is testimonies, commandments, precepts, word, law, way, truth, judgment, righteousness, and statutes. 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 Not halo statue. No, it is a statutes principles. Tabby, you remembered that joke. Yeah. Did you all hear that joke? Guy goes on vacation, and I'm not making fun of an ethnic group. Okay, I better not do that. I'll get censored from somewhere for being. Anyhow, the guy wants a statue. He tells his architect and his builder that he wants a statue, in his home. And the guy comes back to him and he looks through his house, and the guy shows him this beautiful statue with water things coming out of it and so on. And the guy says, no, 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 I want a halo statue. So, all right, moving on. It's a telephone that he wants. Hello. Did you get that? Oh, you haven't been sitting in the council of the ungodly. If you got that one. So, all right. So we're called to obey the instructions of the Lord. Okay, again, the laws of God, the instructions of God are for our protection and for our guidance. Also, we know that the laws are meant for our benefit, to be food for our soul, to be good for our lives, and do not give us harm. No, not to harm us. They're to protect us. So, how does God speak? Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. another version says, how I wish I could be more faithful in obeying your laws. Okay? So, your decrees, how can I be more faithful, and help me to be more faithful in obeying your laws? So, we are looking for God to help us keep the laws. If we can keep the laws without God's help, we don't need God. So, the principles that God has given to us are principles that He, God, reveals to our hearts and our lives. And in that revelation, he also reveals that it is his spirit that gives us the strength to obey these things. To make it work in us is more than just mind over matter. So then shall I not be ashamed? I'm asking God to help me obey his laws. And I will not be ashamed. And when I have respect unto all thy commandments, when I have respect to the word of your law and the precepts that you have given to us, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. So I am praising God for my ability to understand what he has been trying to tell me. And the reason that he has been trying to tell me these things is because it's for my benefit. And I will keep thy statutes. And then he says, do not forsake me. So it's like he understands that if we don't keep the commandments and keep the laws, that we are abandoning our relationship with God and going off on our own. And, you know, he's saying, God, don't let me abandon your precepts here, because I do not want to be forsaken by you. Verse 9. So, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? So how is it that we're going to live a pure life? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed to the word of God. So the word of God is giving us commands and precepts. Now, I know that sometimes people look at this and say, you know, they establish all of these boundaries that you got to do this and do that and look like this and say this and do this so many times and do that so many times. And, you know, it's whether it doesn't matter the denomination, it matters that they, you know, you've got to do it a certain way, and if you don't do it a certain way, you're not in. Well, taking heed to the word of God is knowing what the text of the scripture is saying to us and what God is saying to us through this text. And with my whole heart have I sought thee. So we are dedicating our life to seek after the things of God. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So we see the longing of their heart towards God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we have this internal check of what is right and what is wrong. We have this commandment that God has placed before us that don't change, and that these eternal commandments that God has given to us, that we've hid them, that we have placed them in our heart so that we will not sin against God, so that we know we have a moral compass as to which way is north, which way is right, which way is correct, and that we would not sin against God. Oh, and the commentary talks about the three Hebrew children, the three Hebrews in Daniel. He says, whenever they are faced with the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. So inside of these, the Daniel and his three friends, there was this moral compass that said, you can't eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols and dedicated to the gods of Babylon. You can't eat that. And so that was their moral compass, and so they didn't eat, so they were going to the fire pit. Not to roast wieners, but they were the hot dog. They were thrown in. And of course, God delivered them from that. So not only did David resolve to live according to God's word, but he also pledged to seek after the Lord with all of his heart. That's verse 10. And then, how does God speak to us? Verse 97. We've jumped ahead. And this is David writing, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. See, wisdom, there's a wisdom that comes from, and what is wisdom is the application of divine truth to daily living and principles. And so David is saying, by obeying and seeking after God, he's been able to outthink and outsmart and know his enemies. And he's God has made him wiser than those who were seeking to destroy him. For they are ever with me. The enemies are always trying to trip us up, but we are wiser than the enemy. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. I used to think that in school. No, I didn't. I don't have time. One of my friends from high school, his wife put on a picture of our second grade class. And I'm in there. Our second grade class. So I was thinking, I was in school way back then. One class, Rhonda says, you didn't have any glasses on. And it was kind of one of those things. They didn't find out I needed glasses, of course, till I was probably in second grade. And whenever I went, I sat down, and I can still remember the day I sat down in the optometrist office or whomever. And he put those things on and clicked them around. It was like, oh, that's what it is. I was blind as a bat. I mean, I couldn't see anything. You know, I would have saw the board. You know, even if I was sitting next to it, I couldn't see the board. So anyhow, I think sometimes that's what happens with the scripture, is that we think we understand and we think we see, but we're not close enough in our relationship to God to see the picture of protection and guidance that God wants for us. David says in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. So what God is testifying about through the scriptures and through the prophets, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. So, saying basically, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the book. So, you know, the book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. So, think on the word. Then verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So, the writer here, David, is letting us know about what he has encountered in his relationship with God, what he has found in his meditation with God, and meditating on his word, and he's been able to sense and know in his heart what are the ways that God looks favorably upon, and he's been able to see, like Psalm 1, that we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water bearing fruit. He's saying in this psalm that he's able to be more intelligent than his teachers and smarter than his enemies. Because the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Word, is teaching him and helping him to understand the precepts of life that come from God and that are God's purpose for our living. So, you know, it's more than just I got 10 commandments and I keep them all, and everybody else is, you know, lost. But God has given us His Spirit and His Word to give us strength for each day. Father, thank you for being with us and for the strength of your word, for the help, O God, that you give us to understand your precepts and, Lord, the truths of your scriptures. And so we pray for your guidance. We pray for your help as we meditate on these things. Inspire our hearts and minds, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.